flat. Well, Rondi will probably be coming, but he's probably coming off the mountain, so. I'd like to welcome everyone out tonight to our special work session. Our 18th of January, 2023, 6 p.m. We'll start off with a roll call.
Lynn?
Here.
Paul?
Here.
Mike?
Here.
Paul?
Here.
And Rondi and Sam are not here yet. I think you're coming.
Okay, it's all tonight on county administration programs. So Shay, let's turn the kind of time over, turn it over to you.
Yes, thanks for having me again. If you want to stand up, you want to consider having a conversation.
I'm fighting your way.
I think I've met all of you. I've been to the council meeting last week, but this is Seth Atkinson, so he's on board as well. He's great, here to answer any sort of hard questions that I can answer. I guess we can start with one thing. The mayor asked for us to look into some funding for the boiler that was going out at the aquatic center. I talked to several sources, so I talked to USDA, their community facilities program. They said that they could do a loan. I think it's at between 3.25% and 3.75%. It is a full loan. There's no grant associated with that, but that is an option. I've also reached out to DEQ under their water quality division. I haven't got a straight answer from them yet. I talked with another individual at the Land and Water Conservation Fund under DNR's Utah Outdoor Rec grant. That would be a 50-50 match. Their big question was, is the pool an outdoor pool? Which I believe technically it's not an outdoor pool, but it does have those big doors that open up, correct?
Uh-huh.
So I tried to sell that way. We'll see what they say.
It's both. It's outdoor and indoor.
Yeah, and there is an outdoor component to it, right? So
yeah.
We'll see what she says about that. That's going to be opening up. All of their grants are open January through March, so I'll provide you an update on that. And then CIB and CBG are also sources that could provide funding for that, though they're not going to be
fast.
Yeah. So the other thing that we've got, CBG would be all the way into July of next year. CIB, if you're on the list, you could potentially put an application in for February. If you're not on the capital improvements list for that, then we'll collect that list this month, and you could go in June. So that would be the timeline with CIB. The good thing about CIB with that one, usually if it's an ask of under 100K, they give you all a grant. Because the bonding is more expensive than it's worth if it's over, if it's under 100K to provide a loan, if that makes sense. So those are the options I've looked at so far on that topic. Like I said, I'll provide you an update when I hear from Land and Water Conservation Fund and water quality. So,
okay.
But do you have like a strict deadline on that one?
Yes, but no.
Yeah.
So we're going to replaster the pool in March. So it's just come up of how about a shape it's really in to where do we do it at the same time while we're down while we're replastering the pool.
Yeah. Okay.
Rather than shutting down again for another time for a week or whatever time it takes them to replace the pool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like I said, I'll keep in touch on those. Some of them are going to be available by March, and some of them aren't. With their grant sessions.
It's pretty tough to pull off a grant in 2 months.
Yeah, it'll be tough to get a grant. We can get a loan, but I don't know about a big grant. So, Land and Water Conservation Fund is probably your best bet as far as a 50-50 grant by March-ish. But that's still questionable with the indoor-outdoor aspects.
Okay, yeah, there's a little bit of kickback when you get more understanding from Dominion Energy. We need to find out, fine-tune that, too, to see what we get back for there, because we're just We're trying to switch it to high efficiency boiler.
Yeah.
And then supposedly they're telling us that it should last 15 to 20 years.
This one's been five?
It's just, it's undersized, so it's just getting used all the time. Go, 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 and just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you aware of any other cooling sources for?
Well, nothing too much, but do you have a PAR or a RAP tax?
We do.
We do, okay. And does that bring in some funds, I assume?
Last year's the first year we've done it.
Okay.
And it's brought in about $60,000. We're trying to get that committee put together because we haven't even, you know, got that far with that.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually one of the things that Nephi City may do at their next round of PAR taxes when we go out to have it re-upped at the next 10-year cycle, is that it's going to go toward the pool and become the selling point. So, but it'll be an ongoing source of funding, but if you need something quick, that would not be. What's the cost on the boiler?
$110. $110, right around there's the bid we've got right now. We're getting a couple other bids.
Yeah, well, if you got a grant for 50, though, that's definitely happening.
Right, right. And then if Questar, we got, they're telling us we probably get $7,000 back from Dominion because going energy efficient. They're also telling us that we could probably help pay for an awful lot of that because the way natural gas prices, you know, like doubled and tripled the last little while, this would be so much more efficient than the old one too. So we'd see quite a bit of cost savings. They're telling us that we could probably pay for the boiler in 5 years. We'd save on energy.
So maybe a loan might be something to look at, a bank that you work with, or?
We've been working with Cash Valley quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
Did they tell you interest rate?
We haven't asked them yet. This has all kind of come together in a quick hurry.
Yeah.
There's a T-Mobile grant that we were made aware of. They do these community grants of $50,000 or something like every quarter.
Uh-huh.
To apply for. I don't know how successful any of those benefits are.
Yeah, we've had a few applicants in the region that have applied to that. I'm not aware of any that have been successful. It's a highly competitive program.
Ephraim City did get it. We've applied.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We have applied, but Ephraim did get it.
Okay.
Because that's what we'd like. We applied to get some, well, I'd like to even, on that same line, like cameras and different things for our park and stuff, that T-Mobile would help us, you know, something that way. That's what I'd like to go after that again.
When did you last put in for that one?
It was last year. I can't remember which quarter.
Okay. We can write up another application for that one if you want.
Okay.
We'll have to decide what you want to
go after.
Yeah. I know a couple of the smaller towns in the region, I know Bicknell has put in multiple applications. Lowell was looking at it as well, and neither of them had success. But I do remember now that you said it, Sean
yeah,
showed us that banner that they had in their city hall, so.
Yeah.
I can reach out to Sean even and see what might have.
How he stipulated his
application was successful. Well, anything else you want to cover on that topic?
I don't have anything else on that. You have anything, Brittany, as far as that boiler?
I have the quote here, and you're right, it's 110, give or take. They are looking at making it cheaper with different piping and everything, but we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. I got three other people that's given us a bid on it.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Keep in touch on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the other part of this conversation, we're just here to listen to you for the most part. We can provide some suggestions and places to take the discussion, but we just want to initially hear your needs and what you feel are the biggest needs for the community, and that you don't feel that your staff have the time or the capacity or whatever it might be to fulfill right now. Like I said last time, we're not trying to take anybody's job, we're not trying to replace anybody, we're trying to come in and provide value that you don't have currently add on to what you already have. So I can provide some initial suggestions like I did last time of what we could potentially work on for you. So obviously we can attend city council meetings and planning commission meetings without a right to vote, but with the right to participate in the discussion. We can act as your purchasing agent, can look at your procurement policies and that type of thing, and make sure that those are looking good. We can write up bid packets and go through that process. Like Seth mentioned, if you don't have a certain tax in place, we can look at the taxes that you have right now and work with the correct individuals already in your departments.
When you see that, we've talked about the hospitality tax or the hotel tax.
Transient room tax.
Yeah. Right now, the county's getting everything on it.
Good.
And my understanding is the city somehow can apply and get 1% of that?
Yeah, well, it's a separate tax just for municipalities. It's a 1% tax, sales tax essentially on transient room stays. I think it's 30 days or less. And I think it just can be passed with a resolution, and then it gets sent up to the state tax commission, and then it gets implemented. It takes a little while for that to...
to kick in.
Yeah, because they've got to notify the facilities, so, and then they start collecting, send it to the tax commission, about 2 month lag, then eventually makes its way to you.
What all would that include? Just hotels, or that like Airbnbs? Does that include Airbnb?
It should be, yeah. And that's the hard part, is they don't always know. But a lot of the big companies, Airbnb and VRBO, they usually do know.
They do know,
and
yeah.
And so they're notified because the state tax commission knows, and then they start collecting on those as well.
Did state change the legislation yet that keeps the towns from being able to monitor Airbnbs and VRBOs
through their
website?
You'll want to look at the short-term rental state law.
Yeah, because you can't go after them because you've looked online and stuff.
Yeah,
correct.
Still
you can't
one.
Use that as a tool.
Right.
But if someone complains, then now you have some teeth to do something about it.
Another component to that conversation. So Airbnb is currently rolling out new policies that will require more transparency in the way that they present charges to guests. So now guests are going to have to show their cleaning fees, all of their taxes, everything when a customer comes onto their platform and books. So previously it was just their nightly rate, and then it kind of just said taxes, and there wasn't the cleaning fee and whatever.
Until you get to the checkout.
Now that will. So I'm hoping that'll push some legislation to where towns can use that to an advantage somehow, but it hasn't changed yet. So.
The nice thing about the municipal transient room tax is it's a general revenue. You can use it for any purpose that you need to, whereas the county has restrictions on what they can do with their TRT.
So the county can only use it on like tourism. Mm-hmm. Again, isn't it?
They get a lot more though.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they get 4%.
I think 4.25. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know that's how they pay Kevin Christensen's salary. Mm-hmm. Is off that, you know.
So if you want, we can put together a resolution on something like that.
What's your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, we just will. Get what we can, I think, off of it.
We would put together a resolution, bring it to a council or a work session for you to review, and we would explain it to you, and then obviously it would go under your approval.
Do you know how many roughly rooms you'd have available within the city?
The motel, train cars, and then there's probably, I don't know, there's more Airbnbs than we think there is in town.
Yeah, there's quite a few in town. Well,
do they have to register?
They're supposed to, yes.
Yeah.
They're supposed to have a business license.
But again, they usually just do it under the rental.
Yeah, so it's
$25 a door.
But a lot of them register with the Airbnb stuff online, so if they do that, then you have to, like you said, the state will know.
Yeah.
So is this something we'd have to have a public hearing for, resolution for tourism tax?
We wouldn't have to on a resolution.
I don't believe so, yeah. Probably something you could do, but.
Is it? People get really excited, you know, when.
But the thing, the nice thing with this year is we're taxing people coming into our community. It's not like our community's getting a heavier tax too, that's the.
And the best way to sell it is that they're using services here.
Yeah.
Driving on your roads, they're, you know, using your parks, they're doing things that cost your general revenues. And so this is their way to contribute toward some of those.
So does that apply to like, so we've got a new trailer park, an RV park, does it apply to that?
It should.
For a state under 30 days.
Yeah.
If your ordinance requires them to be under 30 days, correct?
If they do cash-only transactions, sometimes that's hard to track.
Yeah, you can't, it's hard to, yeah. Yeah.
Can you?
So what about like, I don't know if I want to go there, but like down to the arena on the camp spots down there that we ran out down there for the weekends? Would it have to apply to that place too?
Who, is that a private enterprise?
It's a city-owned.
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 You can collect it, yeah. Use that as your charges. It would have to, I think, cycle through the state, unfortunately, even though you're paying yourself. I think it all has to go to the state, but that's something to check on, maybe we could take a look at that. Because they're typically the collection agency for that, but if you're the owner, I don't know, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, we'll look into that one.
Well, I just, I don't know, I don't think we're charging the county tourist tax on it either. So again, it's like, is it a can of worms that we don't want to open? But it would be something, you know, that a private individual would come back and say, hey, wait a minute, you're not doing it, and yet you want me to collect this.
Right, yeah.
So.
Do you just have one gas station in town?
We have three of them.
You have three down, two more down here?
Two more down here, yeah.
I just saw the one on the way to town and thought about the.
Highway to.
Yeah, do you guys have that in place right now?
We do have the 110, yes.
Other taxes you can think of for revenue sources that we could.
The ones that are, that was a top in my head.
Yeah, those are the big three that we always cover. If everybody's good with that, we'll look into that transit tax resolution, and then we'll also check in on if you own the place, how that works.
Okay, well, I think my turn now.
Yeah.
Mark called me yesterday and wanted to have a meeting with me. He's concerned about Dave being so overloaded with what he has to do, that we're going to lose some grant money if we don't get it paid down or whatever it is. What's the word, Dave?
What?
Well, he said they've got some bills due, and they asked you about it, and you didn't have, you're so loaded down with other things, you haven't had time to draw down on this grant money. And he said that's a big concern for him, he said, because he's getting letters from the grant people now questioning why he's not using the grant money, why they haven't taken any of the grant money. And he said, and if we don't use it, we're going to lose it. And it's going to make it harder for us to get grants if we don't use the money that we got. And his big concern was, he said, if you guys were going to bring you on board, what could you do to help take the load off Dave so Dave could be the financial director and do his job instead of, I mean, you have, what all do you have, Dave? What all do you get hit with besides that isn't finance directing?
A lot of planning and zoning, huh?
See, and that's what Mark said, you get hit with a lot of that, call, and you have to handle and things like that.
Part of the trouble that Dave's having right now, I'm going to stand up for Dave, is these grants, he doesn't know what's going on with them.
Well, Bart wasn't, he was all positive about Dave. He said Dave doing one heck of a job.
It's taken.
But he said Dave got so much else going on the side that he can't do his job to the point where it needs to be done. Cause he's seriously concerned about the grants not being dropped, or drawn down to pay these bills that are due. And he told me how you'd been doing it. But I don't remember, I invited him to the meeting tonight. And he said, I don't think I better go to that. He said, I think, I just, he said, it's not a RDA meeting, so I'd like to stay out. And I said, well, I'd like you to come, both you and Justin, if you'd like to, and just explain what your concerns are. What do you know about?
Well, too, I know like the projects are still ongoing, like we're not completely done it either, right? Like we're not done like a bathroom restroom, correct?
The ones down the arena?
Right.
No, not 100%. They're pretty close.
What program were they funded by?
Outdoor recreation, I think is a lot of those.
Yeah. Several of the grant programs that we typically run, I'm sure you're aware of this area, but they require multiple drawdowns through the process. They might just, like, for example, one of the communities that we worked with recently went through their whole project, and then they got to the end and wanted to submit one big claim rather than have to pull money throughout the process. And the grant program came back and said, no, you can't do that. So then they ended up having to do two separate draws right at the end, or claims for reimbursement right at the end, just simply as a grant requirement.
Right.
And maybe that's a similar situation. I'm not sure, but.
The conversation with him, we spent an hour and a half up there. He was going to talk to Paul about it too. And so we had, I just don't remember exactly how, but he said Dave's so overloaded with things. He's doing things that aren't the financial director's job. And he's really concerned about this grant situation and losing the money because he's got, well, he showed me he had a letter on his desk right there. He said, there's one right there. I got this the other day. They're wondering why we haven't been drawn down on this grant. Why there hasn't been any draws on it. And he was nothing but positive. He said, I don't want Dave to ever think that I don't, he said, I'm pro-Dave. In fact, he even said to me that if we're looking at a city manager, he said, I think you ought to give Dave a 6-month go at it if that's what you're going to do. Rather than, that's how he feels about you. But he said, also, kind of felt like we were putting the cart before the horse here, you know, bringing you guys in. He said, we need to look at our department heads and see their qualifications and see if we, you know, we could share some of the load. Maybe it needs to be job classifications and see who's qualified and over there and doing what. He said, there was a lot of promises made today that he says it needs to be looked at. And
there's been a lot of promises for different years for a lot of different employees.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's not just been one.
Yeah, I don't doubt that for a minute.
It's created lots of issues.
See, I told Mark right there, and I'll tell everybody right here, I'm in favor of a city manager. Yeah. I think a city manager would be, I mean, Barry's got one, Gunnison's got one, Manti's got one, Nephi's got one.
Pangridge has got one.
Huh?
Pangridge. They've had one since 1987.
Yeah. There's a lot of small towns with city managers that they're really helping the city. They're helping out in what they're doing.
Yeah, we definitely need one. That's,
you know, that. But again, Mark said, I want you to leave me. He said, that's why he wouldn't come tonight. He said, I want to be out of this. But he said, I'm really concerned about these cracks and about the load that's on Dave. And he said, he just got way too much on him. So he said, if we brought you guys on, what could you do to relieve the load on him so that he could focus on the financial end of this or whatever?
Yeah.
and John.
Do you have a lot of things coming in for developments?
Well, he takes, yeah, we do.
We do.
He gets called on different things with the building codes and all that kind of stuff that comes into him, that he has to deal with during the day when he's in the middle of trying to do. And he does one heck of a job. Mark said that too. He says, we'd be hard pressed. He says, in fact, this is how he felt about it. He said he'd be willing to use RDA money to supplement, to give you more money, if that's what it takes in order to help you to get done on that other side, what needs to be done. He says, if he needs more money, I'd be willing to supplement, to give some money that way. That's how concerning it is for him. He mentioned the restroom down there just about being done. I guess there's some bills due out there. I don't know.
Oh, I think we're pretty close on those, aren't we, Dave? Yeah, like I'm not aware of any unpaid bills. And in fact, we stayed in contact. Dave's keep giving me a list of where we're at, because I wanted to make sure that we didn't go over what we had.
Where are we getting the money from? Is it coming from the grants or is it coming from somewhere else? He told me that.
Yeah, like there's no unpaid bills here. I don't, maybe there's a communication.
Well, there's not unpaid bills. He's saying that it's being drawn from the grant money. It's being paid.
I'll tell you what I see as one of the biggest problems with the grant stuff is Dave and I are told after the fact that this is what I need. I need a copy of this, I need a copy of this, and it's already been paid. We need to know from the very beginning what the grant requires so that we can be collecting all of that information and doing it from the very beginning. Would you not say, Dave?
It makes it easier.
Because there are so many times Dave will come to me and ask me if I can help him find the checks to something that we paid, and if we'd known from the very beginning, it could have been being done right then. I mean, Dave does a good job. I don't think that there are things that aren't happening with the grants.
Well, I wish he would have come tonight. He didn't want to come. She didn't want to get in the middle of what we was making the decision on whether we were going to bring these guys on board or not. But he wanted to know if we did bring them on board, what they would do to help in this situation.
One of the biggest things I would like help with is getting our personnel policy updated.
Yeah.
It is so out of date and it needs to be updated.
So maybe just from our side, ultimately if you want to hire a full-time city administrator or city manager, that's totally up to the council, right? And like I said last time and at the start of this meeting, we're not trying to come take anybody's job, and we're not, if you want those full services, we'll work our hardest to provide them. But if you just want a couple items to free up time for other employees, that's fine too. Like, we don't have to come in as your city administrator, even though we're calling this a shared city administrator program, right? We can provide services that a city administrator might provide that can free up time for your staff if you want to make the decision to hire a mentor. We're just here to provide the value. So if you need help with the TRT, if you need help with the personnel policy and the job descriptions and that type of thing, that's something that we can work on that might help some of these other dynamics, right? So if Dave is way overloaded and needs more time, right, we can work with Dave and try to find what is pushing him over his time limit, right? Or what's taking time that maybe he should be handling and needs to be dealt with by another employee, or if we can take something off Dave to free up his time and you want to hand some city administrator manager things to Dave or whoever the staff might be. Like I said, that's up to the council. But I mean, from our conversation last time, it sounded like you were more interested in just a few services from us rather than a full-time city administrator service coming from Six County. If I'm incorrect, please correct me, but that was my understanding after our conversation at the city council meeting last week, was that we would come in, find some areas that we could really help you with, and and that you would ultimately decide if you wanted to hire a full-time.
That's my understanding.
Manager, administrator.
I mean, you guys are in here as advisors, not taking positions, and that's what we discussed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understood that too, but, see, he just wondered, his whole concern was Dave.
Yeah.
And the grants and everything that he got, said there was $750,000. Out there, he's got total grants, I forget how much he said he had of.
Most lands with that new building at the arena, isn't it? That's like $600,000 or something like that.
Well, that's at $350,000, what we got from the state, or $349,000.
Which is basically all drawn down, I drew down the most I could.
Who drew down?
For the down payment on the Coyote building.
Yeah, he drew down engineering, what he did on that one.
I got a question, so if we did ever hire Dave as the city manager, what would he still do his job that he's doing now, plus?
Couldn't.
Probably not.
Maybe Seth can pitch in here, because he's Nephi city administrator, but he also has finance that, you know.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, and the job I had previously, I was the finance director, and they hired me as the city manager for about 2 or 3 months, I was doing both jobs, and that was a rough call. That was a rough time.
That's why he said if it cost us extra, you know, he was willing to use RDA money to help with that, or something, you know, if it cost us extra.
Was zoning regulations and stuff, is that something you guys could work on as well?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something, I've been trying to get caught up to date for years and years, I guess. Our zoning is so outdated and so lacking.
I personally would like to see our policies and our zoning stuff. That would be, to me, our biggest.
We need a lot of stuff, but I think those things is our, is kind of like your concrete foundation that need to be set up, really an update.
We have updated ordinances, we have some.
There's so many things that need to be updated, I think, I agree 100%.
So then my question is, how many of these things would a city manager take care of?
Probably a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's usually what, city manager is a catch-all, you know? They usually take care of everything that can't be taken care of by other staff.
And then the next question is, after 6 months, what does it cost us for your services?
Yeah, so, like I said in the previous city council meeting, it'll depend on how much you want us to do, so if you want us to just do a few, or if you want us to come in and do a ton. And of course, your size, so you're one of the larger communities in the region, so we'll likely charge between $10,000 and $25,000 annually. So that's an annual charge.
You said that though depending on legislative though too, correct?
Yeah, so I mean, there's $300,000 in the governor's, like, kind of line item for the governor's budget right now. That's gonna be looked at.
They're not here every day.
Session, so that would potentially fund.
They're not here every day.
One more full-time city administrator at Sixth County. Like I said before, if we don't get that money, then we fall back to that charge for fee. So if we do get that money from the legislature, it'll likely be no charge or a much smaller charge than that. So that's only going to be the charge if we don't get that money, and it's not approved yet, but we'll find out.
The state is calling it a local government advisor position, and so that's kind of how they're running it. This program is more specific to Sixth County, but that's the idea, is every city's gonna be different, and the needs are gonna be different, and some are gonna need a lot more than others, and if you've already got staff doing some things, you need kind of some supplemental. So it just has to, we just have to see what every city is gonna look at.
So have you updated the Nephi personnel policy lately?
Oh, we have done all of these things that you are talking about.
I mean, is that easy enough to cut and paste, or?
Yeah, that's the beauty of local government, is we plagiarize all the time. So if you can grant a request or just ask any city, what does your personnel policy look like, and they can turn that over to you, and you can just cut and paste them with things that look good for you, you know.
Like today, prior to this meeting, thinking about what we have discussed over the phone, and that being mentioned, I already pulled up several personnel policies that are throughout the state.
A lot of them have them online, and, yeah.
They're all, you can just Google them, find them.
I just know one thing coming up, seeing like with Natalie, we don't even have a maternity leave in our policy.
Right.
You know, so it's like, that's how outdated it is.
Well, it is hard. Things like zoning and things like personnel policy manuals, they kind of languish where they are until something comes along, and then you're like, oh, man, what does it say in our zoning? Oh, man, why is that there? How long's it been there?
So it's reactive.
Yes, that's what ends up happening. You end up being reactive, and so having staff time or capacity to do these things, you get a jump on it, and you become more proactive before the situation hits you.
So back to a city manager, what does a city manager, how much does it make? What's the cost in general? I'm not asking you your wages.
How much do you make? How does that work?
It all depends, yeah.
So, in Utah, I've seen city managers make from probably $75,000 to $80,000 a year, all the way up to over $200,000 a year.
Depending on the size of the city.
Depending on the size of the city, what the...
Depends on how you...
It really depends on the location, too. There are some cities that are wealthier, that have residents that pony up a lot of cash, or they have a lot more revenue streams, tourist towns, that type of thing, usually have many city, like Park City has a city manager, but then they have two deputy city managers, and their population's only 8,500, right? And so...
They have funding sources.
They have funding sources.
They're tourists.
It's dependent on a lot of different factors.
That's what I say, we're talking, he just said $150,000, and I'm going, no flipping way you're going to pay $150,000 for a manager of this little town.
You would with benefits.
Yeah, with benefits, I would say at least that, probably.
At least that.
Well, it's like figuring chief's wages, his benefits figured in his wages?
No.
And his $86,000, whatever he gets?
The benefits are on top of his salary.
Maybe a good place to start is a personnel policy with job descriptions for the people that you have right now.
Yes.
And if we can nail that down pretty quick, and then you can move on from there, so we can take that on as a responsibility.
I think that, start looking up some of our zoning stuff, because, again, we passed that a year ago to try and get our roads cleaned up, and we still haven't been able to enforce it, because we still haven't got it all the way through all the loopholes we have to pay there.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem, is you don't want to do too many drastic updates until you have a good codifying program, otherwise you...
Who do you use right now?
Well, we've ever tried to find a different one, because they sold out to that big company, and they're horrid. They are not helpful.
At least that's the service we get, is horrid.
You guys make...
We're not the only ones. At the last UMCA conference, there were a lot of people complaining about them.
Civically.
What do you want, sir?
Civically. We switched over from Sterling, and they were...
Okay.
Something or whatever.
Yeah, we were on Sterling once.
So we like Civically, because a little more hands-on approach, but it's definitely...
I think we, for 6 months, really, I mean, we can kind of, there's no reason not to use them on the start, but we're talking about trying to see, so I think all that, I don't think we're going to sell anything tonight, obviously, I mean, we've got so many irons in the fire, but...
I think we just need to give them kind of a head direction which way to go, and I think that's one of the first things we've got to do is...
Yeah, well, and obviously, anything that you ask us to work on is going to be approved by you ultimately before it's put in place, so if you don't like it, we're still not going to charge you, I mean, the program's free, so you can say no, and it is what it is, right? So it's still just us going to work for you. Hopefully, we can produce something that you appreciate and that you like and that we can work with you on, but if not, it is what it is. We'll work on it, try to produce a valuable product for you.
I know we've got quite a few grants, or a lot of departments would like to go after some grants, yeah, and they don't have time.
From Power and Public Works.
You can always explore the ever dreaded property tax increase and do it in small increments. Yes, you have to have a public hearing. Yes, you have to invite the pitchforks and torches, but...
We've done that with our library and ended up cutting in half of our proposed, because it's like, let's just, we really don't need all of it, but we'll have to revisit again in 2 to 3 years for sure, but.
And then just enhancing, you know, most cities, we thrive on sales tax, and if you can enhance your economic development policy to encourage retail and anything that would encourage retail, and that can be done through zoning efforts as well. That, of course, helps your sales tax, so events, things that you may want to hold in town, that always helps. That's one thing we're doing in Nephi, is we're trying to do tournaments, things where we invite people, use our facilities, and then go away.
Use your hotels and your restaurants.
Spend money.
Bring in sales tax, bring in TIF tax.
Highway tax, it all benefits. So if you have all those in place, your car tax, your highway tax, anytime you invite a group of people to come in, spend money in town and leave, they typically spend all in those categories, and you benefit from all of that.
Do you have road tax over there?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we need to consider here for our roads.
We have one, we already got it.
We do have one?
Yes. Yep.
I understood we didn't have anything for the roads.
It's 1/10 of a cent again on the gallon of gas.
On the what?
On the dollar of gas, isn't it on the dollar?
I think so.
It's not a gallon, it's on a dollar.
So then, as people come in and buy gas, they're leaving that tax with you.
Then it's on the dollar and not the gallon.
So I got a question going back to the city manager. So after the 6-month pilot program, you know, what does that contract look like? You know, what if it doesn't work out? In a couple of years, we decide, hey, this guy ain't working out, you know. What are we on the hook for here?
With Six County?
Yeah, and in general, any city manager.
If you were hired as a full-time?
If we hired one, the mayor's got the discretion to fire him.
It depends on how the contract is worked out.
And do they renew the contract? Because, you know.
It depends on how the contract is worked out.
Right. I mean, what's generally what municipalities do?
Every city manager is different because they have their, you know, what they like, and the councils have what they like to see. So for my contract, our mayor doesn't have a vote on our council, and might be the same here.
I don't have one.
Okay. So our mayor does not have a vote, but if the city manager is the topic of discussion and the appointment, the mayor does have a vote, and then it takes at least 4 of the council to vote. But that could happen on any given night, so every city manager knows that when you just do that going in, that you're an at-will employee, and on any given night, and that has happened, you know, a lot of city managers have been caught off guard, and so my appointment is all done.
You know, I seen a story in the news, maybe you guys knew about it, about a city manager down in St. George.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they just kind of stuck with this guy, and he was doing some horrendous things.
So that situation, I think, it was a complex situation, but the way that he understood their code is he abided by what was already in code, right? And obviously the council disagreed with the way that he understood it.
Administered it,
basically. And so then there was a disagreement as to, was he following the correct processes? And obviously the council didn't believe he was, and he did. And so then there was that settlement with him and the city, right? And
that was a unique circumstance. Most city managers have some kind of severance package of somewhere between 6 months to a year. But that's a debate that you guys have if you want to hire a city manager. Mine was 3 months to come aboard, and then for every year that I stayed with the city, it increased by a month up to 6 months. And so if they fire me for any reason, I usually get that. And there are some reasons. So if I went out and you know, committed a murder or something like that and was prosecuted, that's a reason they could fire me and not pay me any severance. But if they just fired me on any given night, I would have that severance. So it's just how you structure a contract, and we could give you examples. But it doesn't happen often, and these are kind of a weird and rare situation. But they make the news. They do make the news, and we all are aware of why things happen. Yeah, that was a big settlement.
One will put you on the spot.
Sure.
What do you bring to the city as the city manager?
Well, I think we bring a professionalism. We know how cities run, we know how cities work, we know how to manage people, we know how to administer all the laws and ordinances that you have. I think that's what you're looking for, is someone who can take policy direction and carry it out. That's really what...
So let me follow up that question.
Sure.
With education, what is it, what would you suggest as a requirement for education, for management, people, and everything else?
You know, I think...
I mean, not just a degree, I mean, you can have a bachelor's in whatever, but, I mean, then there should be some kind of education along with that, correct?
Yeah, it always helps, but I, you know, and that is one of the unique things about this profession. I have seen city managers come from all kinds of different backgrounds. Planning, police, public works, finance, they come from all different varieties. But having good management skills, I've got a finance background myself, so that's how I came through the ranks, but I never anticipated being a city manager. I was actually headed toward the private sector all the way. And my first job was in Park City as a budget analyst. And I just really enjoyed working with local government and seeing things happen in the city that I had a part of, and encouraging and seeing what local policy decisions make. And I got bitten by the public policy bug, I call it. So I stayed with it, and I just rose to become a manager. And I think good management skills is something that's critical. But they can have varying educational backgrounds, and experience will do a lot. You don't necessarily have to have a degree,
right?
You know, and I've just seen it all kinds. So,
this is just my opinion, but I don't think the degree makes the person,
right?
So,
yep.
Yeah. So, do you feel like you made money for Nephi City? Saved money for Nephi City?
I feel like I have. You know.
By you being in position?
I just looked over what we had collected in PAR tax and transient room tax and all the things that we had done that they weren't previously doing, and took a look at that. It was about $400,000 over the course of the last few years that we brought in extra over and above any other revenue sources that we had. You know, just some of those things. And then I feel like, yes, if we can avoid a lawsuit by updating our personnel policy manual, and if we can get the type of developments we want to see by proactively looking at our code, you know, that saves headache and heartache for you guys too. You know, nothing's worse than when you have to approve a development because that's what's in your code. And nobody likes it, but that's what's in your code. So if you're proactively changing it, getting on top of it, you get the type of developments you want to see.
What problem do you handle that takes the load off the city people?
Well, so, you know, each one has a specialty. So I'm assuming finance director, police chief, recorder. So each one is going to have a specialty, and they're going to be assigned to those things. And a manager will help take care of personnel issues that may, I don't know, how many city staff do you have? It's in public works, I assume.
Yes.
Full-time, about 30.
30 staff.
Pool under recreation.
Mm-hmm. You know, so managing all of that stuff and making some of the tough decisions, a lot of the big calls that you have to make sometimes, especially when you're administering a tough code. You got to be able to deal with people. You got to be able to handle complaints. You got to be able to make things happen. So that's what I say a manager's role probably best summed up as a problem solver.
So I'll speak to, I mean, I've been up and worked days with Seth in his office, right? And watching how he runs things it's pretty cool. Like, outside of just the $400K that he might have brought in over the course of several years, there's a much larger impact outside of finances that a city manager brings in into the city. It's organization, it's being able to handle, like Seth said, problem solving, it's managing the people and having your directors of each department come in and meet with the manager, and then they meet with their people, and it just runs down, so people aren't overwhelmed with extra responsibilities. They know exactly what they're supposed to do, and if they have a problem, they can come to the city manager and he can help them work through it. And it's collaborative, it's communication, excellence through that, right? It's...
It's full-time job, it can 8 hour a day go.
It can be, yes, and I would say one of the toughest parts about the job is, and I actually really enjoy being in finance because I was kind of siloed in, I knew what I needed to do, and I got that done, but when I became manager, you have to see the whole picture, and you have to see how the library functions, and how the police function, and how your public works function, and you have to understand how that's all gonna mesh together, and if something's going on in this department, how's that gonna affect this department over here? And then how am I presenting all that to the council? That's another thing, is that I've gotta distill the technical jargon and a lot of things that happen at staff level and present that to the council so that you guys can make an informed policy decision without having to learn every single detail of what goes on in a project or a hiring or something like that. So that's another challenge, is trying to gather the most crucial details, present that in a way that makes you feel like I can make this decision, I know what I need to know, I know what I know now, and I can make this decision. But that's the toughest thing. I would say when Shay was there with me, it was just a constant round of, okay, now I'm dealing with the natural gas department, and there's this problem, and then next comes our library director asking me about this, and now comes my public works director has a personnel issue, and trying to switch your mindset. that is really tough sometimes. That's probably the more challenging part of the job, whereas when you're working on a budget and you've got 3 hours of block time where no one's really interrupting you and you're doing the budget, you can kind of get in the groove and you can get that done. But it's just a constant round of emails, phone calls, and stop-ins, and that's kind of what the manager is meant to do, is handle all that and move the pieces around the right way to get the city to coordinate together. If you don't have a management team meeting right now, I would highly recommend having one of those so that your departments can coordinate with each other. I was amazed that, you know, that was one of the things I started when I got there. They weren't having that, and so everyone was very siloed. Our parks department didn't know anything about the police department, and they didn't know anything about what the library was doing, and no one was talking to anybody. And by putting them together in the same room and discussing an item on a council agenda, yeah, it might affect your water department, but maybe your police department has something to say about it as well. And they're all skilled people, and having them all in the room is important. I will say having a brain trust is really important as well. So I lead a discussion with my manager group so that I can make an informed decision as the city administrator. But I take all their input, all their feedback. I've got a lot of smart people in the room. I don't do it alone. I rely on my staff to do that. And so anyway, that's something that I would recommend doing if they're not doing it now.
That's a good idea.
We haven't had one for a few months now. Probably about four.
That's more than that.
Is it?
We do it every other week, and we review everything that went on the council meeting before and the council meeting that's going to happen that night. We talk about each of the items.
Okay. I rest my case. I just feel like it's something that's needed for the benefit of everybody.
I do too.
For the benefit of the city.
Nice.
For everybody involved. I think it's just something that we need to seriously look at.
Yeah. This program, I think, is excellent.
And I think that I'm not against this program by any means. But I finally got a city manager to come in here that could tell me, you know, because I've heard every city that has one, I know we've had one before we didn't like, but a good one, they've been beneficial and brought money and probably more than paid their salary by what they've saved the city. And then the headaches and everything that they save also by being the manager and taking care of personnel and things that come up in different departments and everything, it's nipped in the bud, per se, rather than letting it get... You don't hear much coming out of cities that have city managers. I haven't.
Good ones, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a whole Utah City Managers Association that we're there to advise each other, and I would recommend whoever you get as a city manager, have them be involved in that organization. I'm on the board actually this year as the vice president, so happy to welcome them in and give them access to the listserv and help them become a member. It's like $50 a year or something like that to be a member. And you just, you see a lot of value from, hey, you get access to all the city managers in the state, you know? How did you handle this situation? Does anyone have an ordinance that does this?
Yeah, again, don't reinvent the wheel if you can.
Oh, yeah.
Change it from somebody else.
Yeah, someone has been through the situations you've been through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Anything, Mayor?
All good.
So moving forward from here, it's great to hear from Seth. He's super experienced. There's a reason we brought him on board. We think he's very valuable, right? Maybe after hearing from Seth, you even more so think that a city manager or city administrator would be valuable. And like I said, whether you want to utilize our program or go and hire someone full-time, whatever is best for Mount Pleasant, we're on board with. As far as the next 6 months, if you want us to just work on specific tasks, we're fine with that too. And we can continue this conversation throughout that 6 month period as well and have more meetings and attend more city council meetings. But if you want us to work on specific items over the next 6 months, we should probably nail down at least a few and then continue this conversation unless you think otherwise. And we're open to your thoughts on that too. But
the personnel policy, definitely.
And like the chief mentioned, zoning, our city code and ordinances and zoning, needs to be updated.
When you say zoning, what specifically? That umbrella covers so many things.
It does. We've talked about rezoning some areas here in town for future.
Adding codes for people living in their trailers and in their house, that's like one of the biggest things right now. I know we passed the ordinance, last year about the parking on the city right of ways and stuff like that, but once that's codified, we can start enforcing that. But I think our code is more open-ended. At least when it goes to court, there's people that extend their cases 3-4 years. We pick up a piece of trash, to your honor. If you'll extend us three more months, we'll have this cleaned up. And I'm not exaggerating. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. You're 100% correct.
They'll run these citations or their offenses off for 2 to 3 years. And
we got one now. It's 3 years.
Progress. We can't really proceed.
All it does is you're going to
manage problem until the court decides. I don't know. It just seems like everything's kind of open-ended and there's no real actionable.
So putting more teeth in your penalties.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. The new ordinance that they made is it'd be a lot better for parking on the city right away, stuff like that. Because it's a $25 a day charge if they don't fix the problem within a certain time period.
But that,
again, I don't know how that would work, how that's enforced or anything like that.
I just know I have some rental houses. One of them was in Ogden at the time. And the ordinance enforcement guy would go drive around, just take a picture, send you the notice. You had 14 days to correct it. If not, there was a penalty every day after that. 2 weeks later, you'd go around, it was still there, and the penalty increased.
So I think what you're talking about is what's called the administrative citation, something outside the justice court, and something administered.
Yeah.
Just through
our ordinances, because, Yeah.
If they don't pay it, you can accrue a bunch then and make a court, but.
Right. And that's kind of what we passed, was like, the same way as like parking on the street. Our ordinance was 72 hours. If the vehicle hasn't moved in 72 hours, then you could be cited for it. And we gave them 2 weeks to clean it up. And after that, it was a $25 a day fee for that. We got a lot of issues with that, especially on our streets and stuff that just, you know.
Parked there forever.
So parking lot.
Parking lot, that one on Second South.
Well, there's an additional revenue source for you. You just have to charge and let them stay there.
At least $1,000.
Yeah.
It's all over town.
It's all over town.
When you say, you mentioned RVs, people living in RVs? Are they parked on, like, in your residential district next to the home and they're just running the cord out, basically?
Yes.
So, yeah, and I've railed this site under like a non-conforming zoning law right now, which, but it's really open-ended. There's nothing that really actually says you can't live in your RV on the property or.
So you, Nephi has a pretty good code on there, right?
Yeah, they specifically state you can't do that, yeah.
And your penalty, the misdemeanor C right now, right?
Do you let them live in it while they're building the house?
No, we point them to the RV parks.
So I actually went to Aurora City Council on Monday and we had this exact same discussion and I took your code on this to that meeting and we talked through it and it was simply putting it in place so that they have the correct ordinance in place, lining up the penalty and the enforcement and then having somebody fall through with it. It's just taking those steps. People aren't taking them.
RV parks here, then it makes sense to direct in that direction, yes.
I think just with the economy right now, having everybody's moving home and they're in their RVs and they're parking on the parents' yards or in the driveways or on the grass, wherever, they're just parking everywhere.
And if they're already there and you don't have an ordinance that prohibits it right now, they're gonna be grandfathered in even if you put a new ordinance in place, right? But there's a way around that. There's a loophole where you can still kick them off. They gotta be breaking some ordinance.
I think right now, as long as if they're hooked up to power or water or sewer, then we can do it under the non-conforming.
Yeah.
It's kind of ambiguous. There's no real.
Do you have temporary utility rates you can even put on? Higher utility rates?
They're tied into already a house resident power, so it's like they're not tied to any utility or temporary utility.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But usually that's what we do when they're doing something that's non-conforming. We'll put them on temporary rates. All those rates are higher until they conform. Yeah.
I know I was talking to them the other day about it, and one resident, I think they have two trailers in their driveway that their power bill was $600 last month because they have the two trailers there that they're in the meal.
So your Power City?
Yes.
Water, sewer, any other utilities or
irrigation.
Water.
And then what are they doing with their sewer?
They just tied it to cleanups?
Yeah. Right.
And there you are. Or some of them go in the house and showers.
I see a new one every time I ride around, too, right?
I see a new one every day.
So we're really happy to work on those two things. We're getting on personnel policy, it'll probably be the easier of the two, for sure.
Depends on how extensive we're talking. Do you have a copy electronically, or is it online, or?
Personnel policy, yes.
Okay.
I can email it to you.
I know Shane would really like to have some help on going after some grants, too.
Shane's online.
For the power department, because he's looking at doing a transmission line and a new substation, and there's money out there.
His wish list was grants for Penstock, Hydros, and Capital Facilities Plan, and he wants the personnel policy updated as well.
Can you Can you send me his contact, so I can email with him specifically about some of the grants that you have?
So it's the same, Randy, what's your take on what we have in the job description?
It's helpful to have a job description, because if you ever run into struggles with an employee, that's what you're gonna go back to.
But there's zero. No, there might be a couple. We have very few, like, for that, like.
Some of them are being updated, but we do have some.
We need help there, too.
That's what we're doing, when I say they all.
Yeah.
We need some severe updating.
It's helpful when you have struggles, set the expectations that this is what you're hired to do.
Right. Like, I mean, most of you guys would have the same, like, your water guys would be, you know, there'd be a job description for them, I'm sure, like, me, Brian, all them have very similar, so each person would be, if they're over in that department, that's what your description is sewer, water, whichever, but.
Yeah.
So does your public works do all three, or what does Nephi have, they split it, do they have just water guys and?
We have water, wastewater, and then, so they handle both of those, and we just have sewer ponds, I don't know if you have a treatment plant?
We have ponds.
Yeah, so, we do power, and then we also do natural gas, and solid waste as well.
What was on Coulter's list, since he wasn't here too?
Public Parks was looking for grants for, like, the headworks and pond winder, looking to the future that we would need another water tank for storage, so looking into a grant for another water tank for storage. He also would like help with the job description of the personnel policy, and updating some ordinances. A grant for upgrading the city sprinkler system, and possibly doing some xeriscaping to help with that. The grant, he said a grant for, you know, the beautification we talked about on the street, of taking some of the trees out and putting a grant for that. He's got, and Shane might like this too, they've got a lot of reports that they have to do. And Coulter said he'd love to have help with the water reports, Shane's shaking his head. He's got, like, an EIA report coming up, I just sent to him.
With data collection, or with just putting the report together?
Well, Coulter, putting it together, I mean, they don't always have a lot of time to be doing all of that fun. But Coulter also has one coming up that they were just told it's the lead and copper rule on the water pipes.
Oh, yeah.
That he said that would be great to have help with too.
There is funding for that out there, though, right now.
Shane's giving me a thumbs up.
Yeah.
And then recreation, did you want that one too?
Yeah.
Recreation would like lights at the fourplex, and cameras at some of the, like, the city parks and the fourplex, and that to help with some of the stuff that we have going on in those places.
Would the electric department be able to do the labor if the lights were purchased from somewhere?
Yes. Shane said.
Okay. That's always helpful.
Let's just go around and let all the other department heads that's here, let them kind of just say, Jim, what else did you have?
We've talked a little bit about grants for additional resource officer at the high school. The superintendent, a year and a half ago, where they wanted us to help more at the school, and asked if they were going to look at funding for an additional resource officer, and have Mount Pleasant be our officer be responsible for the high school and middle school, or the elementary school, and then the county officer take care of the middle school and the other outlying elementary schools. But that's never, you know, came to fruition. I haven't heard anything from her about that since we talked about it. And, you know, there's always equipment and facility stuff, and, you know, there's a lot of things we can use that we don't have, but I'm not necessarily, you know, most grants, well, most grants that I've seen are based off of personnel, you know, initial funding, but then the city has to pick them up and different things like that, but, so.
Do you know Chief Morgan underneath that?
Yeah.
He's a master at grant writing.
Is he?
Especially for cop stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we get, you know, we get the typical, you know, there's several grants that we get every year, but nothing major, so. Does he get big grants funding?
No, just a lot of small stuff, really, you know. But that all adds up to the overall budget.
Yeah, I think every year we get probably around $8,000 to $10,000 a year, maybe, in grants, so. But I think most of them are, most of the smaller agencies have access to them and can get them quite regularly.
Is the school district willing to partner on an SRO?
They said, they wanted to fund it, and, but they needed to find money first, so. And that, you know, that, to me, that'd be a win-win for us. We'd, you know, they'd be assigned to the schools during the school year, and then we'd have extra personnel in the summertime to do special projects or enforcement and stuff like that, so, like, you know, I haven't followed up with her in a while about that, but, you know, I don't know if there's anything available for her about that.
Dave?
Well, my needs are just the department head needs. I talk with the other department heads to pursue their interests, and I don't have any needs per se for the office. Maybe one that hasn't come up yet would just be Sam at the fire stations.
That'd be a big one.
What is it? What's the details on that?
Need a new one?
New one or expansion, yeah.
Well, I mean, I do, I don't want to put it in, but that's the other problem, is we have to just, when we bought the property, we started working on buying the property next door to the station so we could do it, expand out, but getting the money to do it's.
How many bays do you ever need?
Two.
How many do you need?
At least another three, 20.
You can't while moving the fire trucks, they back.
Longer.
Yeah, they bump.
So build the truck, we just got a ladder truck going on currently, we had to size specific, we couldn't do anything bigger, couldn't do anything, so we had to make it more.
Do you need new trucks?
District does, we've got a district, it's kind of something like, similar to Nephi, you guys got pretty good. Since they've set up a lot of these special service districts, they actually do pretty good. Our county does pretty well for trucks.
Have you guys applied to that AFG program through FEMA?
Yeah, I know they have, I think they're working on, I know they're currently working on through district getting, they're going to go, they're going to present the CIB to do another 5 engines portion over here, so. With that 50-50, but it's all in the works right now, hopefully, see how that goes, but.
Who's the applicant for the fire engines?
It'd be Sanpy County Fire District.
Do you know when they're planning to do the application?
I think they went last, when did it, was it last Monday or something, whenever they was able, they went up and did it just recently.
I think it's this week.
I can't remember, I know it's on Monday. We talked about it last week, but.
I know we brought it up in our mayor's meeting, was that last Thursday?
Yeah, that's all through the fire district stuff, so.
So CIB on the 5th, the last CIB meeting was on the 5th of this month.
That's probably what they.
Probably not everyone, but.
So I think they were going to present it or do something, I'm trying to remember, but.
The next one's on the 2nd of February, so. I can check, so Tyler, the regional planner in Sixth County, he runs CIB, I'll check with him on that and see where things are.
Yeah, I don't know, I just know they were working on something to do for it, so.
Do you guys charge impact fees?
Yes. Well, we do on water and power. We've got our sewer master plan in the works to where there will be impact fees, which if I can get that approved, I don't know.
Parks impact, parks and rec?
We don't have one of those yet.
One thing to think about is, as the roadmap starts looking at coming off 2026 and 2027, I mean, those years are coming up close. We're gonna start feeling like we're getting held hostage by that secondary project. We just got the NRCS extension. We just got that letter this week. But at some point, I guess, we need to look at possibly getting a, like, we don't have a street master plan. We've had one done, but it's very outdated now. We probably wanna look at timing that up, so as that project's finished up, we're ready to go for a, you know, a major multi-million dollar street project.
Did you put in an application to the TPA program to do that this year? It closed on December 8th, well, last year, I should say.
What, that, was that like the straight, safe sidewalks or something like that, or?
No, that's a different program. The TPA grant through UDOT, Seth just brought up, that'll close in December, but they'll fund, like a street master plan or a transportation master plan, they'll fund, like zoning updates if you wanted to do it through, like an engineering firm or someone like that. That's another program we can look at, but it's gonna be another year before that one's open.
Looks to be all right, because at 26, 27, when that money comes up, that'd be about ideal.
It's a really good funding source. There was a 1.5 million thrown into that this year from the state.
When you say that, I noticed there was a transportation infrastructure deal come through, through UDOT, something that way, and that's one thing, we share two roads with the county. It's like, I don't know if there's a way of getting, those roads are so heavily traveled, because they go to two outlying big county areas, it's like.
I know it looks good if you're doing a joint application together on it, I guess.
We got lots of big trucks or big trailers, and you know, heavy, mm-hmm. heavy use on those two roads. It would sure be nice to, on some of the infrastructure Biden money that's supposedly coming out, look at some of that too. Yeah.
Most of that money they're throwing into current programs that already exist, and a lot of it's tailored to larger cities, urban areas. But we have our eye on it.
Anything else, Dave?
That's the downturn focus that I've been looking at, is look at the streets and drainage with that.
You had a lot of drainage problems this year?
We filled in all our ditches when we went to our pressurized irrigation system, so our trouble is now our road sits down here and all the water from like State Street all the way to Fifth West is on that road all the way, just destroying it. Especially. Brittany?
Couple things. We have received grants from USA Swimming before for an adult swimming lesson program. We have reapplied for that, but I know that there's others that we have so that we can offer free or discounted swimming lessons to those in the area, because this is a poor area and we would love to be able to do that. Some of the equipment we have gotten, it was kind of a grant. Somebody was filling a grant, so they gave us life jackets. But to replace the equipment that we use all the time, life jackets, guard tubes, our vacuum, stuff like that that we use all the time, it would be nice to be able to replace that. And then there's just the facility maintenance. We talked about our boiler earlier, stuff like that. That would be great. Maybe changing the splash pad. It's not the best setup. Something, I don't know, some grant help us change that out. or replace some of the features, because we have one that's broken. And then there's just some safety stuff, we talked about the beautification of Main Street. If you walk on it, some of the sidewalks very not even, and that's just kind of a hazard. There's some safety trainings that, not safety trainings, well, there are safety trainings. I mean, like requirements that we're supposed to follow that might take some money to implement, to make sure that everything's where it needs to be, and that sort of thing. It's just grants to help pay for that. And always the public, or the personnel policy. I would like to see a part-time section on that, because I'm the only full-time aquatic person. And I think Stephanie's the only full-time recreation person, right? So we both deal specifically with part-time. And it's very hard to explain to a 16-year-old, so here's the policy. You're not going to understand like 90% of this, but this is what you need to know. So it'd be nice to have a part-time version of that.
I guess I should tell you who's, so Brittany's over our aquatic center. And then Don, the next person is over our library. You have anything, Don?
just the little one that we always talk about is our ADA compliance. We need an elevator. Somehow, somewhere, we need an elevator. There is, to get to our adult section, there's three flights of stairs. Two flights of stairs. And then one down to the children's, because it's a Carnegie Library, so it's was opened in 1917. So there is no way to get anybody in the building with disabilities.
But we're very landlocked, too. That's the big problem.
That's our biggest problem, is that it's landlocked, and it's a historical building, so you can't do anything to the front of it.
Do you have any estimates on an elevator cost-wise?
I called Ephraim to find out how much it was for theirs, and it was, they didn't know for sure because it had been too long, but it was just over $1 million was what they thought it was.
Is the building used for anything that you could think of that might benefit a grant application outside of like your typical library? Because are there other committees and meetings out there? Are there classes or courses? Are there trainings? That type of thing?
We have lots of programs that we're doing. We don't have a huge amount of space to do a lot, but we do have programs. We have classes. We offer.
We do it in first.
We are so landlocked there, and
all three sides is open to charge, so.
She also says it will probably require three-phase power, but they can make that happen.
Yeah, power is another thing.
$1 million for an elevator is going to be a hard.
You could about build a new building.
So you don't want to just put that money toward a new
structure. You could put one on the same level.
Yeah.
Put that $1 million towards a new building, you'd be better off.
You could also just look at a lift. It's really specific to ADA use, but it's less expensive than an elevator.
And then, is that it, Don?
Well, that's the big one, yeah.
Fix the building up, move it to a different location where you do something else with it.
We just build a new building. I don't know where, but we could. Shut down the road. We'll just close the road between us and the corner.
On the splash pad, then we'd eliminate two headaches.
Yes, I actually would be more than okay.
We have to build a bridge from the library over to the splash pad because we don't own the parking area.
Yeah. Oh, we'd have to come in and get a swimming pool.
To get the library into the splash pad.
You're going to have a swimming library.
I'm going to be going new bathrooms in August.
So.
Everything goes down the money, really.
Yeah.
What is down the money?
Pursuing grants.
And then we've got Jack and Galen, who runs our Contoy Arena.
We are about 99% done with the shower and restrooms there. It turned out really, really well. We are doing an extension on the main arena, and that is through a grant from the state legislature, I think. And we've got, CO buildings have got the concrete plans done. And in fact, he asked me last week if we want to start on the concrete now. And I said, no, let's give it a while until the weather heals up, and then we'll go from there. We've got a grant to do some landscaping around the main arena building. Right now, we're dealing with drainage problems. And the problem is it all drains down into the arena. But we're working at that. This spring, we're going to have probably some extensive dirt work to do. We have five arenas, one indoor and then everything outdoor. We're going to have to do some work on that stuff come spring as far as dirt. That's about it as far as, oh, sound system.
Yeah, sound system would be good.
I've got a bit on that that I'll present to the council on Tuesday, and you can have a look at that, see if we want to do that. It's around $17,000. I thought it was going to be around five or six, but surprise to me. But nevertheless, that's about where we're at on the arena. Things are actually going pretty well. We've increased our riding membership, just the daily riding membership, by a substantial amount, haven't we?
Yeah, it seems like the weather dictates how many members we have during the winter time.
Well, we've got quite a few, and it's been a little slow this winter, as far as events are concerned, but we're doing all right, I think. But that's about all we've got. We don't have anything in the planning stage as far as any extensive expansions are concerned.
We always have to, every 5-6 years, we update our dirt. Our dirt is coming 5 years old in the indoor arena. Arena dirt, if you talk to any of the arenas, they say they switch their dirt out 2 years. It wears out, imagine that, dirt wears out. After 2 years, it has to be replaced. We try and stretch ours out to 5 years. That's going to be coming up.
This spring, there will be a lot of that. With the course, we have an eventing course. And the arenas that they use, we're going to have to do a lot of work on those. But we don't know yet how much, because it's all underwater.
It's in Niagara, isn't it? You get a lot involved in all the rodeo stuff over there and all that.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Oh, you're asking him on the youth stuff, if he gets involved with a lot of that over there, too.
Just from the aspect of cooperating, but they have a youth stampede committee.
So it is separate.
It's separate, yeah. So we, and in fact, our fairgrounds are half city and half county.
So it's
a joint effort between all of us, the county, the city, and the youth stampede committee to make that all happen.
So that's about all we've got as far as the Equestrian Center is concerned.
So I've got security cameras. Is there anybody out there that, I mean, the arena, the park, all of our buildings, is there any money out there? Have we looked into it yet, Mayor, or is there?
Sure, there's some type of grant somewhere. I'm not familiar with.
No, we're looking into that too, but we're having to pay out of pocket for it, so.
Well, yeah. Have a pile of that thing, yeah. Okay, I just wonder, because it's something we need.
I know Centricom is willing to help do internet type stuff, but that's the trouble you come up with, is cameras itself. It's then the sad part is, again, they're probably only good for 4 years, and then they're about outdated and obsolete, too.
Where do you guys, Jack, where do you get your arena dirt stuff out? Sand? Is it just mixture of sand and what? You guys know?
Oh, sorry.
I said your arena dirt, what is it, mixture of sand and...
You know what we put on the indoor arena, we put straight reject sand from Brotherson's, and it's not, it worked pretty good for a while, but now it's starting to pack so much. I mean, sometimes I'll work it two times a day. We have an event there where there's a lot of hammer on it, I'll go over it three or four times in a day. It's just kind of packed down, yeah. And then, you know, the outdoor arenas, the Ropey Arena, it's, they just put dirt in it from out back, and it's just not as good as it ought to be. But we work it to the point where we don't get a lot of complaints from ropers and so on. Yeah. An excuse, sorry.
So your drainage issue out there, and we've talked about this, there's no gutters on the building, and that big south face building puts a lot of water right down in those stalls.
I cleaned out today, you know, Sam, when we put the one on the east side of the, I tried to clean that out today to try to get that to drain. I don't know how that's going to work, but I got to drive it back down with the gravel.
Yeah, I think if we could get some kind of a gutter on it and put a drain pipe out, you know, and have these downspouts go out.
There is that pipe that we did, it's all perforated, you know, it's the perforated pipe we put in years ago, all the way around that whole south side too, but it's all on, I'm sure it's all buried with dirt.
Yeah, it's like our, all the corrals and pins right there are...
So it runs all the way clear, the whole length of the building kicks out the west.
Yeah, it runs, and I know that we did plan on this kind of stuff, but it runs right into one of the other arenas.
One of the other arenas that we had later.
Yeah.
So it's still making water coming out then and making...
Yes, absolutely.
So it's still doing something.
Yes, it is, yes. So. Yep. Then we hooked onto the east end with that other drain, and that's what I tried to uncover today.
Drainage issues.
That's a problem.
We got the same building idea.
The issue with the arena, the main building, is it's 4 or 5 feet lower than the road.
In the road.
And just like a big waterfall.
Shane asks if the outdoor light arena switch is working well, or do you need to change that switch and fuse box out?
The what now?
Outdoor light arena switch.
The new lights he put in on your arena outside.
Yeah. Is the switch working okay, or do you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just temperamental. Just have to move it around a little bit. And it's just a box is all it is. Okay, we're
gonna go. Okay, Jack. Jeannie, did you have anything else besides?
I'll meet you tomorrow, Jack.
We were just digging. We thought of two more things. An electric LED sign, like the one that Manta has, that announces...
The electronic billboard?
Yeah.
I think they got that
program.
On brand, didn't they?
Huh?
They got it on COVID money.
Oh, COVID money.
Trouble is we're in our historical district and it doesn't allow it. That's the problem we're in.
Well, in some way around that. And then maybe some sort of social media communications, advertising person, because right now, as far as I know, each department kind of has their own person, and it'd be nice to just have that together.
We tapped someone in our library actually to do that, and she did a great job, still did a great job for us. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's something we could look into. But.
Well, like Trivi, I'm the only full time at the library, so I have 4 part time.
Well, you might want to tag a teenager over at the high school.
That's what I
the things they want to post, I just don't want to be
comfortable. Do you need a poll?
Yeah.
Anybody else got anything here?
I do. I would like to see you work with the Public Works. Get a little more efficient. And the reason I say that, we've talked for 4 years about some problems and nothing's been done about it. It's just always been pushed to the side. One of, a lot of manholes need to be raised, sewer manholes. Cars need to be repoured, several of them. And he's aware of it. And we're talking about finding money for cameras. I've talked about this till I'm blue in the face. We've got several vehicles sitting up there that's depreciated. We can sell. All they're doing is sitting there collecting rust.
Do you have a surplus policy?
I don't know. I don't know if we have a policy or not.
We actually have the same issue. We got there with a lot of dilapidated, decrepit city vehicles that were just sitting in a lot somewhere. And so we just created a surplus policy that anything under $1,000 could just be declared surplus by the city administrator and sold. And we actually have a surprise how many people took those apart.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's.
I know in the past we just sold them.
Yeah.
We've advertised it, and, you know, it was a high bid thing, and yep. We did it, and higher bid.
There's softwares and stuff that allow you to auction. And,
yeah.
So anyway, there's a lot of ways to do that. But the surplus policy helps you to do it more quickly if you leave it in the hands, at least at some level, the staff, and not everything has to come before council mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. But anything over a certain dollar amount you'd want to know about.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Anyway, so
that's all I've got.
Lynn, you got anything?
Well, I guess kind of going on that deal too. I mean, yeah, we just need like our parks and stuff like that. I mean, we need the public works as part of the parks. It's just a big thing, and I mean, we just need to figure out how to make it all work, I guess.
No, I spoke my piece.
Lundy? Well, Sam brought this up in the council meeting, but some kind of maintenance program for our vehicles and equipment. Now, we talked about maybe looking at a full-time mechanic, but I don't know what other municipalities do. You know, what does Nephi do with, to maintain their vehicles and equipment? Because it
we contract.
It's a reactive thing, it seems like we're doing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do contract it out. We do a leasing program for a lot of our vehicles. So we lease all our police vehicles and several city admin vehicles and some of our public works trucks. So we're just doing a 1-year lease, 2-year on the cop vehicles, and there's some companies that'll do it. The admin vehicles, we just took it on internally. And then, so we buy a brand new truck, and then there's certain levels of truck that you can buy. They're kind of higher end. You buy them at the government rate, and then after a year, you can sell them for more than you bought them for. And if you kind of run that program enough times, you actually stockpile some money in a fleet fund. And but it takes some capital to start it. You know, it's hard to do. Initially, we took some money out of our general fund balance to start that. And just depends on what you have in there.
And your police vehicles, the time you put all the equipment and stuff in, you gotta have.
That's why that's a 2-year lease, because
that's
such
expensive.
Yeah, I've been saying for years, if some engineer could come up with a plug and play model for a police vehicle where I can just cart all my equipment in there and magnetize the lights on there, and they can just Bluetooth the switch or something. I don't know. I think that we're 2023. Somebody ought to be able to do this without bolting and rewiring and taking it apart.
I just need a crank.
Yeah. The old school. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, until that day comes, that's what we're doing, is a 2-year lease on those, and then we'll switch them out.
It seems like I don't know if we really have a maintenance program for
just well, we
to go up rigs and then it
yeah.
You know, fixes.
We did have, I mean, we was going good up there for a while. Take care of all of our Yeah.
And that was just in-house, just.
Well, we got fire trucks, and they probably did for NEPA. NEPA, theirs goes through the county, through all that, so.
We have talked about maybe partnering with another agency, like the school district or the county or something like that, and going in on the camp together. Because then our two fleets together, we keep the mechanic pretty busy.
I think we have enough. Well, I know we have enough stuff that we keep the mechanic busy. Between all the, you know, inward backhoes and track holes and dump trucks and.
The best way to do it is to have your finance guy look at all you've spent on maintenance annually for the last 5 years and, you know, what would that look, if you put it toward a mechanic, what would that look like?
Break out too.
We tried doing that without a mechanic for a while, and the problem was the local shops, they wouldn't get them in on time. You couldn't get them in. Shoddy work, not really good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a bad, I mean, those guys are so busy right now that it's hard to get anything, you know, looked at or serviced or whatever.
Even dealers, I had an issue with my personal truck, and they were like almost a month out to even give me the look. That's the other downside of fishing with that.
But how much does it tend to have to pay for a mechanic, a good mechanic? And benefits. And then the equipment, then the equipment too, on top of that.
Well, there used to be a lot of equipment, a lot of ranches, a lot of stuff up there, because it used to be up there. I don't know what's up there now, but, I mean, there's tools, there's, everything should be up there. I mean, we had tire valves, machines, everything up there, the whole nine yards. So, I mean, it was all, from years ago, it's been set up as a maintenance shop for mechanicking, but for back when Blum was there. Blum used to do it all the time, so.
That's the one thing you can really sell, is, I assume you're part of the URS retirement system.
Yeah.
For employees, that's one thing some people really value. So maybe they'll make a higher wage at the private sector, but they don't get a pension.
Yeah. And there's not many mechanics out there to get a pension.
Correct.
So, I mean, you may not be looking at the $25 an hour, possibly, but. Depends on the mechanic.
I think that's that. What other things you guys have, Shay?
I think we covered the big topics that we wanted to. You guys definitely have enough needs for a whole city.
Yes, we do.
I think part of it's like, some of these policies haven't been updated for years.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, again, once you get some of them updated and stuff, that's going to make a big difference.
So with how many things we've discussed tonight, we can go about it a couple different ways. We can either take your big things that you want us to work on and just go after those, so your zoning and your personnel policy, and come back with that to the council, and you guys can review it and either approve that or give us revisions that you want. Or we can go and have each department prioritize what they've told us and send us over an email, or we can come up and have meetings with your individual departments, or have a phone call or a Zoom meeting or whatever's most efficient and effective. And we can go that direction. But ultimately, it's up to you how you want to utilize our services over the next 6 months.
And in a way, to me, everybody wants grants. I get that in mind. But I think as a city overall, more useful policies and the ordinances and stuff would be huge overall for our benefit and the entire community versus, I mean, the others are beneficial too, but it's just in a different manner, I guess. But
part of the reason I ask the departments come with grants is because if you guys are seeing these grants come and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, Mount Pleasant said something about this, it might qualify underneath this grant. So that's kind of part of the reason why I asked them all, to just kind of, you know, bring your biggest wish list type of deal, is what you want. Because again, as you're going through things, and again, six county, you see different things that, you know, hey, this would work or this wouldn't work, and
And maybe that note of the doing policy, that maybe there's, I don't know, maybe there's a lot of grants that you've done for like Power or different Engel or Nephi that you can say, hey, these are, maybe just a list and say, hey, these are options of grants that we've got. I don't know. Because maybe there's something out there we don't know.
Right.
A lot of these things are multi-year.
Different deals.
You need to plan this stuff out and say, you know, what are our priorities to do in the short term? And what is some of the stuff we can plan in the long run? And honestly, for a lot of the things with your utilities, you should be building that into incremental rate increases that you look at each year. That don't just fund operations, but also bring in enough to where in the next 7 years we can do that hydro plant or something like that. That, you know, we can take the money we've gathered from these rate increases, leverage that for a loan, and do this hydro plant, whatever you need to do. But starting to do incremental fee increases is a really important thing to build up that capital fund. That was one of the things that we had with Nephi when I got there. We had an enormous water project, huge water project, and we had like $300,000 in the water fund. And then the project was like $19 million. So, you know, how do you do that? We came up with some large rate increases up front, but then we looked at incremental stuff. And we've been doing that ever since. And we increase our fees on the shoulder seasons when water usage is low. And we just do a little bit, and we're at $2.5 million in the water fund right now. So, and we're making our debt service payment, which is $500,000 a year on this project. The project's done. We got some USDA funding. In fact, we built into it a payoff in year 25 because it was a 40-year loan. But by the time we paid that off, we have new infrastructure needs in year 30, you know. So it doesn't make sense to keep paying debt on infrastructure you're already replacing. So we built into the fee increases that we could pay that off in year 25. So that's what that's done for us. But then you pay for it yourself. You don't have to always rely on grants. And people don't get as mad about small increases as they do 100% property tax increase or something like that.
We've got two big water projects going on right now. That's what we've done over the last little while, is just raised it like $2 at a time.
Yep.
Because we know we got this debt that's going to come
well
next year. So again, it's like...
So USDA is a good funding source, rural water, the drinking water fund. So there's a lot of things you can do, but from a utility standpoint, that's an easier deal than your tax increase. So you just look at other ways to fund your general fund, building your sales tax and some of the other taxes we're talking about.
Question, will the policy and procedures review be like each department's policies and procedures or just the cities?
Just the cities.
Okay.
I don't know if it wouldn't hurt to have the department, because it would want to coincide a little bit, I would imagine.
Job descriptions would go more department.
Department, but it would.
The policy would be more city-based.
City-based, but it would also want to coincide with, well, your department would want to coincide with the city policies as well. Does that make sense?
Yes, I mean, once the city's updated, then you can just update the
current
policies. Yeah.
Right.
Probably look at departments and the overall city policy together. Make sure they line up.
Right. You don't want a department doing something different than what the overall city is doing. Unless there's a reason. So police are always a different animal.
Yeah.
But.
Okay.
So my understanding, just to be clear, is that we'll work on a personnel policy. That's one of your biggest priorities. And then we'll look at your zoning, start working on that, maybe a resolution for a transient room tax, and you start working towards gaining that revenue. Obviously, we'll keep in mind all of these other things. And if we want, we can have individual meetings with department heads and More than happy to hand out my contact information, take calls and emails whenever. I'll go type up all this tomorrow and have a notes page where we can both get on there and track it all. And so we'll have all of your needs written out. So if we see programs come up, we can coordinate with you and either send resources, like the top resources for that program, or we can help write the grant and administer if that's something that you're interested in as well. But for now, the biggest priorities are personnel, zoning, and maybe that resolution for tier two. Does that sound correct to you?
Yep. It's looking at specific zones or just all your zones as a whole?
We've talked about it in the past. It's been about a year, I think, since we visited it. But, you know, we talked about rezoning some areas from commercial to residential. And just so an example.
Looking at where zones can be.
Okay. Yeah. And then the description of, you know, what's... was allowed in the zone.
Okay.
Or isn't allowed.
Different uses.
We have two residential zones, and yet there's no really much difference other than animals, you know? So it's like, yeah.
What's your minimum acreage on a residential?
Quarter. 10,000 square feet.
Questions need to know work on those things.
Are you looking at any other types of residential zones or varying?
We got a proposed high density right now that's kind of in a commercial zone.
Like a mixed commercial residential or all just high density residential?
Just all high density.
Okay. How many units per acre?
How many acres has he got? Well, he's proposing 90 townhomes is what he's proposing. Mm-hmm. But he owns a lot of other acreage there, so that's why I'm trying to think what they actually sit on themselves. Type deal. It's out there behind the hospital.
There is the planned unit for that one.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have a PUD as part of your code?
Yeah.
And that's on hold for a while. Glenn went on a mission and I talked to John, and John says that
he's going in May. He tried to get something for the planning and zoning yesterday, but he didn't get it to him until like Friday. And it's like, they're not going to sit on that or be able to take action on that one. Monday was a holiday. And
they haven't submitted an application.
Yeah, John said they were going to do anything on it for a while.
The biggest thing was this. They told me you had to ask about the second entrance exit. It's like, no, we don't want to. It's like, no, you have to.
So from a judicial standpoint, I guess they're considered, you know, bad when they pay their fees. That they're
considering
vested
making application.
So they're vested, meaning if you make any changes to your zoning after that point, they're held under the old code. But if you want to make changes to the PUD, I would recommend adopting a temporary land use ordinance that holds off on any new applications for that. Is it an overlay or is it a new zone?
It's in a modified commercial zone, which didn't call for that, but we did. We added it as a conditional use.
Okay. So. Anyway, you would just maybe want to do a temporary land use ordinance that would, they call it that, but it's a moratorium, essentially.
Pending ordinance, rule, freeze, or something?
Yeah, for 6 months. Right. You have 6 months to do something with that zoning, change it however you'd like. And
so, vote for that moratorium, what is the justification for one of those three criteria that they can bump it under?
Well, it's, you just have to say it doesn't, you know, what the code does not conform to what we want for our general plan. You need to look at your general plan and determine, you know, you can have a lot of reasons for why it doesn't conform to your general plan. I have to look at your general plan for what, you know, you usually find reasons.
I think, like Paul says, I think it'll be on hold because the couple that's wanting to do it's still going to go on a mission in May.
Okay.
But like I says, he submitted the paperwork to Dave on Friday and wanted to be on planning and zoning yesterday, and it's like, no, that's not gonna happen.
Right.
It's too much information to go over on a weekend and.
Correct.
Stuff.
But if they pay a fee and they submit the application, you're kind of locked in with the code you have. If you're okay with that, that's all right. If you're not okay with that, you.
I was trying to go on what they submitted as far as the application on that particular one.
I mean, all they've got so far is just the concept approval.
Yeah. And so again, on subdivisions, that's something we need to look at too, because we just done our first one, and that's the very first one we've ever done, so. Again, that's another way of income to look at too. It's on those fees.
An annexation one would be one, especially I think, like, as you're looking with the annexation, the question to me is if, like, we have the water impact fees that your homeowner will pay, but if the developer doesn't have sufficient water, how do you want to address that?
Do you have a policy?
Vague.
We haven't annexed anything in, that's part of the reason we're holding off, because we just tell them we don't have the water supply, so we don't have the infrastructure to do it.
This whole group is outside of town boundary?
The 90 unit, no. But we've got some other people that want us to annex them in, and we just keep pushing them back because.
That's a lot easier to say no to than.
Because we don't have the infrastructure to support that.
Right.
That deal.
So you would just need a policy to bring in.
Right.
Or if you don't, you might like the annexation, how do you handle it?
Yeah, you have a fee in lieu of water, yeah.
I think Mayfield just does policy for annexing and bringing to the water.
Where do you stand on water rights and what you have as a city?
We just bought an irrigation well. We've got 515 acre feet on that we're buying, and then some more that we're still working on purchasing.
How many do you?
For the fall area, our water rights, the rights itself is actually pretty decent.
Yeah.
We're fishing rights, but no water.
No wells drilled, or no. We got rights, but, not developed.
Right.
When did they start on the treatment plant? Has the bid been let?
No.
So Spade, we approved this.
Spade's got the pipeline down to it.
Yeah.
The water treatment plant is still in engineering and USDA. Same way we're drilling that well.
Between that and the irrigation system, it's more of a debacle.
Yeah. Well, I did not gray hair when that one started.
Yeah.
I didn't have to die back then.
I mean, that 3.5 years that I've been here, and we've gone nowhere. I'm just like, we're still square one, just about.
I think I retired, yeah, when you're full of your career.
I get asked at least weekly about the irrigation system. At least we go.
Part of that's still tied up in that Narrows mess too, I think.
So do we need to vote on this?
No.
No? Yay or nay approval?
I thought we already took care of the one.
We all took care of that on Tuesday, last Tuesday, so this is just.
This is just a.
Just a workshop to tell them which direction to head.
Yeah.
So.
Holy crap, just talks about.
Okay.
Paying attention.
Any other question you guys got?
We can send them over if we.
Okay.
Questions.
Okay, sounds good.
Appreciate you guys.
Who's making the motion to adjourn?
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Give me a second.
On favor?
I gotta ask you a question on your news. I don't know what you call it. Did you guys partner as a school district with Tommy, like that?
Not in my car. Oh, thank you.
Phone number, email.
Okay.
That's, yeah, appreciate that. Why are you happy going to that? I'll say, because you get that kind of donation.
Reach out whenever, demo this stuff.
Well,